Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
In heaven, as we gather around God's throne, everyone's attention will be on Jesus. This teaches us that Jesus should be preeminent in our lives now. Our faith should be based on the simple words of Jesus. Come to me, learn of me, abide in me, and follow me, because keeping our focus on Him in this life will help us through our everyday trials now. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 7 and follow along as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 9 through 12.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His holy.
What do you think is going to be your reaction when you see His face? Have you ever seen something or an individual, they have such outstanding characteristics or features, some kind of a beauty or distinction, that when you see them, sometimes it's so beautiful, you've got to look away. But even when you look away, that image is there. Can you imagine when you look in the face of the pure, spotless Son of God? Listen, when you look into His face, believe me, you're not going to be looking for mine up there. We're going to see His face. Now, do you think we see His face? We're going to take out that file cabinet. Remember? All of the questions you're going to ask God when you get to heaven. How come I didn't get that job? How come this? How come that? You think you're going to get out that file cabinet? It's not going to be up there. All of those questions? All of those theological questions? God, why did you do this? How about this? How about that? Are you going to be there? You see His face. You're going to look at every answer. You're going to see the fulfillment of every need. You're going to see the desire that you've longed for. That's what it's going to be like. Immediate gratification, not like on earth. Why am I focusing on this morning? Well, first of all, because this is where the Lord had me go. But second of all, because the reality of life on earth is such that it's so easy for us to get trapped by things, even good things. We can get trapped by responsibilities. We can get trapped by church things. We can get drawn into theological debates, philosophical discussions, all about the Bible. I think it was K.P. Yohanan who once said that the Father did not redeem us to be students of Christianity, but followers of Jesus Christ. Remember I said earlier how Christ wants to be our preeminent one. But when our Christianity, or not when, let me back it up. Our Christianity gets dry and dull when it becomes a matter of doing something, when it becomes a matter of I'm looking for some experience instead of falling deeper in love with Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 12, and I've inserted those things into brackets. Behold, God is my salvation. The Hebrew is Yeshua. I will trust and not be afraid. Isn't it interesting how trusting God casts out fear? For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Hebrew, Yeshua. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Yeshua. Of course, that Hebrew word Yeshua is translated into a proper name, Joshua or Jesus. But this Hebrew word means deliverance, aid, victory, prosperity, health, help. All of these things come as we look to the Lord, as we abide in the Lord, as we fellowship with the Lord. But let's just say we've lost our perspective. And we're looking for deliverance or aid or victory or whatever, primarily or in secondary sources. Well, by looking to secondary things or experiences to keep us excited, Eventually, we're going to dry out. Notice what he says here. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. How we need to make it a priority in our life to get filled up and to get refreshed with the grace and the love and the goodness of Jesus. I love how Mary, blessed Mary, said these words in the Gospel of Luke. And Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." This is the instrument that God chose to be the bearer of Christ. And she says, "My soul magnifies him. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She wasn't excited about things, but him. The Apostle Peter's last words to the church, written words anyways, recorded in Scripture, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge," that means intimate knowledge, "of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." That's how Peter ends his dialogue with us as far as Scripture is concerned. And in other words, let me sum up everything I've written in what you and I would call 8 chapters of the Bible. This is it, okay? This is it. Get your notebook out. Here it is. Here's how you pin these things down. Here's how you soar to the heights of theology. There's how you get to the depths of intimacy. Here it is. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both when? Now and forever. Now, in this life, and forever. That's Peter's admonition to us. How do we do this? How do we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Well, we need to be spending time with him. The more you spend time with somebody, the more you get to know them. Anybody that's been married for any number of years knows that. It gets beautiful. It gets wonderful. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, but when you're married for a number of years, you're out public and say you're tired or your wife is tired, you got those signals. You know, something you just go, "Let's get out of here." Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about because you got those cues, you know. Might be a little twitch. Well, that's not mine. I'm just, you know, something real obvious. Like, you know what I'm talking about. You know each other so well. "Honey, what do you want for dinner?" "Okay, ravioli. It'll be. Here it comes." You know? You don't get to know somebody better by staying away from them. You don't get acquainted with somebody by avoiding them. You need to spend time with them. You need to be in the Word. You need to be in prayer. We need to cultivate intimacy with the Lord. I love how Job, it says in Job 22, verse 21, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace." There is something about just getting acquainted with God, how he gives you peace. Even in the most severe storms, he gives you that peace. Peter says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul, deeply, formerly deeply devout religious person, but not saved. What were Paul's words to people who were slipping back into their old religious routines and habits? Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ." He's smiling. Now, if you read a new translation, they want to tame it down a little bit. So they'll say instead of dung, rubbish. It's dung. You know what dung is? Of course you do. You go, get growth. This is Paul's former religious life. This is Paul's old life. I told the first two services, I couldn't pull it off. Can you imagine putting a slide, an overhead slide of a pile of dung? And then at the same time hitting a button where out of the AC vents would come the fragrance of dung. And you'd be sitting there going, ooh, that stinks, that smells. What is that? That's religion. That's your old life. Paul says it's dung. None of you are going to go out for lunch this afternoon or the restaurant and say, give you a menu. Yes, what'd you have? Well, could I have the dung specialty today? Or you're not going to order something with a side of dung. It's gross. But what was dung? His former life. Why? That he would be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him. And keep in mind, beloved, the Apostle Paul says that I might know him. This epistle was written approximately 30 years after he was saved. 30 years later, he says that I might know him. Did Paul have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You bet. But he was as hungry when he wrote this letter, more hungry than when he got saved, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Thank you, Paul, for being so honest. I've met people who give me the impression that they've arrived. Oh, they are the spiritual elite. They've arrived. Paul says, I have not arrived, but this one thing I do. That's focus. Isn't it? Isn't it? One thing I do. In other words, nothing else gets in the way of this. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize or the supreme goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle John in 1 John said in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind, John is writing this when the church is going through a very intense time of persecution. And he's telling them about the fellowship that we have in Jesus. And during a time of intense persecution, he says, and these things we write unto you, look carefully at the screen, that you would be bummed out the rest of your life. That you would regret ever being a Christian. I say that many times because that's the way we read it. These things we write unto you. Why? 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 You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding me, John. You don't know where I live. You don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, God knows where you live. God knows where you're going through. But when you and I live for one thing and for one purpose and seek to make Christ preeminent, despite the storms, the trials, the difficulties, the opposition, there is a joy inside, isn't there? Because we know that this life is not the end of the journey. Joy. You know, some of the most depressing people are people who know a lot of theology but do not have the true joy of the Lord. I know a lot of people, they know a lot of scripture, they know a lot of doctrine, but they don't know the Lord. They are right, but unfortunately they're dead right. They are like Spock. What about the words of Jesus? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. How about the prophet Jeremiah, who said these words, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory or boast in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory or boast in his might. That speaks of human strength and power. Let not the rich man glory or boast in his riches or wealth. Notice, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Do you realize, beloved, that the entire universe is divided into two groups of people, those who know the Lord and those who don't? Which side are you on? But let him that glory, glory in this, that he understands, certainly not all, understands the heart and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Or how about that beautiful scene, the Mount of Transfiguration? You know, you've read it. There on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration are Jesus Christ, Moses representing the Lord, the law, and Elijah representing the prophets. And Jesus brings up with him Peter, James, and John. Now we know from that account and from the account in the garden that a qualification for church leadership is to be able to fall asleep in the presence of the Lord. Not really. Here they are in the Mount of Transfiguration. They're asleep. Peter wakes up. And you know what Peter does? He can't think of what to say, so he says anything. Isn't that foolish when we do that? We don't want people to think we're fools, then we open our mouth and we dispel all of their doubts. Peter wakes up. Whoa! Let's build three booths. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. And then a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Moses disappears. Elijah disappears. The father says, I want you to listen to my son. I want you to keep your eyes on my son. Isn't that what we read this morning? And what a difference there is when our faith is built upon the words of Jesus. Come to me, learn of me, abide in me, follow me. That's so beautiful. It's so simple. As I was studying this week, it was just a great week. Probably one of the most hectic weeks I've had in a long time. It was perfect timing. And so I put my library to rest. I put my theology books to rest, the commentaries to rest. I says, you know what, Lord, this week, it's just going to be me and you. As if, you know, he's really going to get a big thrill out of this, him spending all of the time with me, you know. He says something. And it was such a glorious, glorious week. Fiery dart here. Okay, Lord. What are you going to do about it? Problem here? All right, Lord. There you go. Issue here? Yep. Difficulty there? Yep. Okay, Lord. I'm looking to you. How beautiful. Even the simplest things. I like to ride my bicycle. Get up early in the morning. Read my Bible. Pray. Got out a couple times this week. Nice and early in the morning. A little cool. Even last week was real warm. A little cool. Chipmunks running all over the place. Morning doves, blue jays, birds are beautiful. I'm surprised I didn't get arrested. I'm thinking about this stuff. And I am just rejoicing in the glory of God. I've got tears going down my face as the sun is rising, and I'm looking, and I am starting to be toasted by this ball created by my God 93 million miles away. And the thought occurred to me that that sun is like the dark side of the moon compared to my God in all of his glory. And I thought, that's it. That's it. This is my destiny. This is our destiny. This is where we're headed. And what do you think is going to be the most important thing when we stand before him? He's not going to say to me, now, Raymond, when you rode Thursday, you only averaged this speed. What's going to be the most important thing? That he was preeminent in our hearts, preeminent in our homes, preeminent in every single thing. That the Lord Jesus Christ was preeminent in everything is going to be the most important thing when we look at him face to face. Correct? And so how do we prepare for that time? By allowing him to be preeminent today. That will make our worship sweeter, our serving sweeter. That will take the sting out of the trials and the difficulties that we face that are going to come. That will enable us to forgive like we're supposed to forgive. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never come to the saving knowledge of Christ. The gospel message is really, really simple. One of the most beautiful pictures of Jesus in the scripture is that he is this great shepherd who will gladly leave the 99 to look for the one that is lost. Maybe that's you today. And if you're here and you're lost, you are in the radar of the great shepherd who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did all the work that needed to be done on the cross for our sin. He declared the words, "It is finished." What do we need to do? Repent and turn to God. Turn from our sin. Trust in Christ. He's the only one that can provide you with the grace and the forgiveness that you need. Now, when I tell you that, I also need to tell you this. When you come to Christ, when you really come to Christ, fasten your spiritual seatbelt because you're about to enter into a battle. There will be opposition, sometimes from family, sometimes from friends. Those that are not born again. There will be tests. There will be trials. There will be ups. There will be downs. But this much you can know. God will be your strength, your peace, your wisdom, your help. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Amen. Father, thank you for your love, your redeeming love, your rescuing love, your delivering love, your gracious love, your goodness. May we be freshly encouraged this morning by what your word says to us about you. Lord, may our supreme enthusiasm and excitement and joy and peace and object of our affections be you. And may today, Lord, you and your redeeming love reach down into the hearts and the souls of any that do not know you. And today, may you bring them, Father, to the loving arms of Jesus for the forgiveness that is in him and through him by grace through faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you?
If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for our Wednesday evening service at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. This Sunday, please join us at 10 a.m. for our special Church in the Park service at Edmund Lyon Park, which is adjacent to our church parking lot. Please bring your own seating. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.